After 32 years, I came out of the closet as a gay Christian pastor. Finally, on the outside of that suffocating prison, I'm looking around and I'm like, we can't stay here. It's not enough to become informed. We have to do something about the harm we're still witnessing within systems and spaces we've been loyal to for so long. It's time we become reformers.
Hello and welcome back. I've got another journal entry episode for you, and I apologize in advance for the heavy breathing. I'm on another walk, and I can't help but notice when I listen back on the walking episodes, I'm like breathing heavily. I apologize. I want to talk today about algorithmic racism, I guess. I don't know if that's the best title for this, but I'm just going to share some stories. This is real life, like recent events that just are part of my real-time process. And having to acknowledge in myself, and I hate having to do this, but that my privilege still prevents me from noting and seeing and understanding how racism still plays out in the more nuanced, complex parts of our, you know, lives, especially on the internet. So here's the story first. Recently, I made a post that was collaborating with other deconstruction content creators, just doing a joke trend video that, you know, had a lot of great engagement. And I got called out by somebody in the comments. Of course, there were, you know, hundreds of comments, and a bunch of them were annoying, bigoted evangelicals just like dehumanizing the people in the video because they don't like that we're saying things that they disagree with. I don't care about those comments. There are a bunch of those. I don't even hardly notice them anymore. There was one comment from a black woman, and she was, the gist of the comment was, I'm tired of the BIPOC community being an afterthought in spaces like this. And there was something about that comment that stung, like that hit me in a place and I couldn't get past it. So I want to just first vulnerably share my emotional internal struggle with this experience, just to like expose the human part of this. You know, I've done a lot of work at like addressing my own perspective and my own like privilege. And I don't want to use the term blind spot anymore because I think that's actually an ableist thing to say. So like holes in my awareness, I think, is the new way I want to try and say that phrase that I used to use all the time. I want to expose some holes in my awareness, give permission to people through, I guess, my own example to like do this work, because this is scary work, right? I know socially it can feel like high stakes to engage with accountability and doing better, especially when the person who's calling you out, you know, you maybe interpret them as being aggressive or scary or accusatory, or like if they're right, then you're an asshole, right? Like that's a scary thing to have to wrestle through, which isn't even true, right? That's not even the case. So there's just a lot of emotional firings that we have to work through to even be constructive in engaging in this. But this work is really important. So I just kind of want to share some of my process. This is not new for me. This is just the most recent experience of this. You know, I've gotten lots of practice, which I'm thankful for, and it sucks every time, but I can honestly, you know, admit that I have definitely become a better person because of this work, and my ability to see other people who aren't me and hold space for experiences that aren't mine has dramatically increased, and I think doing this has been a big part of that. So when I read that comment, I'm tired of the BIPOC community being an afterthought in spaces like this, right? Oh, sorry, here's the thing. It was me and like six other content creators, or five other ones. Except for me, everybody else in the video was white, right? And I'm half Japanese. So like, of course, that's like an optic that's like kind of sending a message. Of course, it's not sending a message I wanted to be sending. And I had reasons for why I did the video the way that I did. And sure enough, the video performed like I anticipated it would. I mean, I think it did better than I thought it was going to. But there are some things I had to learn in this process that I wanted to share, I think, that are noteworthy. So when she said that comment, I was initially like, oh, come on. Like, you know, there's the gut reaction in that moment for me, and I'm not proud of this, was like, that's not, of course, that wasn't my point. That's not what I was going for. All these defenses, right? Like, just like trying to like defend my character, that I'm not a bad person, right? I'm not racist. Like that kind of drive, which is not helpful. You know what I mean? Like, so I had to like work through that. And I actually wrote up like a paragraph response to try and like respond to that comment. And then I was like, this is, what am I just making excuses for myself? I had quote unquote reasons for why I did what I did that had nothing to do with race. So I thought, right. So anyway, I was like, this is not a helpful comment. And so like probably three times I had to like come back to that comment before I finally was able to reply, because it was like hitting something in me. And I, after like a while, I'm like, okay, this is emotional. This is hitting some pretty significant part of me. What is this? Why am I feeling the intensity of this? Like, there's fear, right? And this self-protection, this defensiveness, like, where is this coming from? The commenter wasn't, you know, accusatory or like disrespectful. They were simply expressing their frustration and experience of the post. So anyway, eventually through that wrestling, I got to a point where I just considered, what if I were her, right? Living her experience and saw this. How would I feel? As best as I could imagine. And, you know, immediately it got emotional, right? It touched me. Like, oh, that sucks. Like, of course, like that's a valid response. And I would probably feel the exact same way if I were her. That would be really frustrating. It would be tiresome. This, you know, this would not look good. And so now, like, I'm like, yeah, I would have done this differently if I'd had that awareness. So that was like a bummer to have to realize on the other side of things. So I was really thankful that she said something. And anyway, reached out. Turns out we have some mutual friends. And so we got on the phone and we chatted. And something that came up from our conversation, there were a lot of things that I can't cover in this one episode because it would just go in so many directions. But one thing that I did think was worth sharing and like eye-opening for me was the metrics I was using to pick people for this first collab video, because I wanted to do a bunch of different kinds of collab videos like this, was I was choosing people who were creating content regularly, who were getting high engagement, who had a sizable like following, right? So I was looking at metrics like that and then reached out to these people and, you know, a bunch of them said yes and we did the thing. Here's the thing though, the metrics I was using to filter out who I would like reach out to for this project was reflective of some sub behind the scenes filters that I wasn't thinking about, right? And so what came up in this conversation is I basically was like, based on what we were saying, I was like, are you saying that you think the algorithm is racist? And she's like, I don't think the algorithm itself is racist, right? It's just a byproduct of human beings programming it. But yes, and she's basically just like exposing how people are platforming, responding to, engaging with, elevating white content creators inordinately more, right, than people of color, especially black women. And that's not something that I even feel qualified to speak to because I am not a black woman, right? And so that's not something I was thinking about or paying attention to, but it was a filter I was using unconsciously for this video collab, right? I didn't think about how there are, let's just talk black women for this example. There are black women content creators out there in the deconstruction space who are putting out legit content. It's good. It's hitting. It's important. and the algorithm is not boosting their stuff. They are not getting the followers or the engagement like their content deserves if we're looking at it objectively on the subject matter and then the areas that other people are creating content and getting results. Like, they're not getting the same results. And this person I was speaking to was like, I follow this black content creator. She makes incredible content. I think she's the best voice in the space. I don't see her stuff. I actively engage with her. I DM with her. I like and comment on her stuff. And her stuff doesn't show up in my feed. Whereas there are some other content creators whom I don't follow. I am not trying to see their stuff. I'm not engaging with it. And it keeps showing up. She's like, the algorithm is promoting certain content creators and ignoring others. And like that was an eye-opening moment for me. I did some research. I mean, little. I don't. The word research is a little intense in that sentence. But so there are like some other content creators I follow, black women specifically, queer black women, and I love their content, but I was like, I haven't seen them in a while. And I assume as content creators, sometimes we just burn out, right? You just need a break. And sometimes you just need to like dial it back. You can't keep up with the level of like output that you've had in a previous season. So I just kind of accept that as a normal like rhythm, right? So I went to this one person, for example, to see like when the last time was that she posted, and the most recent post she made was like that day, like hours before. I looked at the previous post before then. She was posting regularly, and I hadn't seen her stuff in months. And I was like, oh, shoot, is this, what is this? You know, so I just want to acknowledge, I'm not trying to make a huge statement about Instagram or any social media platform or whatever necessarily, but there is a byproduct to like the users, right? And what they're looking for and what they engage with and how that plays out with who sees it and how often. And, you know, it kind of starts creating these platforms that people listen to, and they become like sources of information or guidance or examples to follow or whatever, right? And if that keeps being white content creators, if people of color keep being excluded from how that plays out, that has a real impact, and that is a problem. And from our conversation, it sounds like one of the helpful practical takeaways is not to go to Instagram and tell them to make the algorithm behave differently, because it's not the algorithm's fault necessarily. It's the users who are constantly prioritizing, engaging with, responding to, boosting, if you will, the white content creators out there who are saying things. You know, they're not, maybe their content isn't wrong or bad, but maybe they're new. Like, we're just needing to recognize that privilege is a major contributing factor to some of the results that we content creators get. And I am not exempt from that, right? Like, that's happening with me too. In some ways I get excluded and whatever. In other ways, I'm absolutely getting promoted and prioritized because of privilege. Like, it's a factor, and that's true for all of us, right? In some ways. So, that was an eye opener, something I had to like look at and wrestle through and weigh out. And that's rough, right? And so another thing that she said in our conversation that was really helpful for me to hear, you know, it's not new and it shouldn't have to be something that needs to be said, but I heard it. She was like, yeah, if I'm watching a content creator and I rarely see people of color being platformed or represented, if their voice isn't also being included in the things that are being prioritized and spoken about, like, that's a red flag for me, right? And like, that makes sense. And I would say similarly for me as a queer person, if I'm following somebody and I don't hear anything about queer people, and let me just take this moment to acknowledge, I've got a couple of people in the theological space. I don't know if they consider themselves deconstruction type people, maybe, maybe not. They're influential. And yet people like me are being erased or have been completely unacknowledged in their work. Or at best, like, they've maybe said, don't hate queer people, right? But they've not affirmed queer people. They don't advocate or defend or address the social issues that include specifically queer issues. Like, that bothers me. That's really upsetting. And so, you know, when she came to me and was like, saying that, I was like, yeah, so totally. I see that now. Like, that makes sense. I didn't think about it like that. And that's problematic, right? And so I had an opportunity in this experience to, in my own mind, justify why I made the video the way that I did, what I was going for. Quote unquote, of course, racism had nothing to do with it. Of course, this wasn't about race. Like, in my mind, that's true, it wasn't. But that's also part of the problem. Part of the problem was that it wasn't about race. Like, I wasn't thinking about anyone else besides the white people I was talking to, because I was just following the algorithm. Like, the results that Instagram is producing for people. And so I'm not saying this to vilify any of the content creators who were part of that video. I loved the video. I thought it was awesome. I think all those people are doing great work. They have really good stuff to say. What they're doing is meaningful and matters. So, like, I'm not trying to downplay or minimize any of the people who did collaborate with me. I also want to acknowledge that video was completely my responsibility, right? Nobody else in that video was putting that video together. It was me. I was the architect. I'm the guy who, like, pulled the strings and made the things happen and produced the video and put it out. So, like, that responsibility falls with me, not on any of them. So let me just acknowledge, like, this is not about any of the other content creators. The issue was the decision-making I was bringing to the table and how whitewashed it was, right? And I could say that the byproduct of my decision-making was, I mean, sorry, the reason it was so whitewashed is because of the metrics I was using, which is not an excuse, but also, like, something that I should have been aware of as a content creator, you know, being at this space. I was like, I should know that by now. So this was, like, a learning moment for me, and I'm thankful to get to walk through it. I'm not done. Like, I'm still processing through this stuff and having conversations, and I don't want to just, like, brush it off and move on. I want to, like, learn, you know, and do better. And the do better standard for me in this was not like, oh, I see it now, I get it, I can fix that. It's like, I didn't get it enough to not publish a video like that, you know? Like, I was missing something that allowed me to make that video and it not be a concern. And so, like, that sucks. It's problematic. Like, I had a couple of the content creators I worked with like mentioned like, hey, people of color, let's get them in this video. I'm like, yeah, totally. I want that. Cause I wanted to like, my mind at that point in time was, I want to work with the people at this level of algorithm results, right? Get that out and then build from there, make some other videos, incorporate other content creators and kind of mix and match. And that was me saying and thinking that way before any of the things I'm telling you now. Painful learning curve here. So I had to go back to those content creators and apologize. Like, hey, you said this, I didn't listen. We talked about it. I acknowledged it, you know, I had plans for it, but I actually like that deserved to be given credence and priority before, you know, this, in this process earlier. And I chose not that, right? Because of my ignorance. So I'm leaning into this. I'm feeling the burn. I've had multiple conversations about it. I will continue to be having conversations about this. I'm expecting this is going to actually change. This is changing the way that I approach content creation and how I'm engaging with the algorithm, you know? So one practical takeaway for me and that I'd like to offer to all of you listening to this is, one, let's take a census, just inventory. Look at the people you follow. Do you have people of color in your followers list? Like, are you following content creators who aren't just white? So people from the BIPOC community, are you following queer content creators, right? Are you following people from other communities, especially marginalized ones, giving those voices opportunity to impact your thinking, to show up in your feed, to like represent themselves in the stuff you're consuming on a daily basis, right? Because we have to acknowledge, those of us who are active users on social media, this is a regular, like, powerful influence in our worldview, in the things we're thinking about, the things we're aware of, the things we think people are thinking about, right? Like, this informs our perspective in that way. Like, you could get on a right-wing evangelical person's feed and get a whole different view of the world, right? By just simply scrolling through their feed. And that's a curated experience, right? Like, they in some ways built that channel of information based on their likes and comments and follows, and that Instagram has like been like, hey, you like that, you're probably gonna like this and these people too, and right? So step one is like, hey, let's take an inventory. Are we following people from other communities? Are we following Black women? Are we following queer Black women and letting them speak, right? Like, listening to what they're having to say, letting their perspective and experience challenge, expose, reveal, hold accountable things that we would never think about because, you know, we're not them. So there's that. And then a second step to this is, as you engage on social media, are you liking, commenting, sharing, saving content from, in this particular instance, Black women, right? Like, is that happening? Because the algorithm, from where I'm standing, tells me it's not happening. I don't know that it's just my feed, because I have several content creators who are people of color, right? And their accounts reflect similarly. They are represented in my following list, and yet still, I have to acknowledge that the white content creators do show up in my feed more often, more regularly. And I don't know that it's because I'm engaging with them as much, right, from my behavior. So I don't think this is just like a unique to me experience. I think across the board, the algorithm is responding to behavior, and white content creators are being pushed to the front. And the reason this is problematic is because that's been happening for forever, right? Like, white people, whiteness just constantly being centered, prioritized, given the benefit of the doubt, given priority, that creates a disjointed, inequitable world that we all have to navigate. And then people of color especially are uniquely disadvantaged and repeatedly having to struggle and work a lot harder to get half the results. Like, that's not fair. That's not a world I want to live in, right? I want to contribute to a place where everybody, no matter their race, their gender, their sexuality, like, that they get an equal footing and are rewarded for the merit of their character and the quality of value they're bringing to the table, not which group they identify with that we, you know, praise as higher or better. Oh, right? So step two of this is like, comment, share, save content from marginalized people who are creating content help them get better results by behaving that way with the algorithm. This is my podcast episode. It's, you know, like, I don't expect this one episode to make a difference, but I think I want to keep talking about this and encouraging people to do that. And I know that I can hear the white evangelicals, you know, that I come across and that I used to have as my main community say, like, oh, isn't this just quote unquote reverse racism, which I don't have time to get into the absurdity of that statement in and of itself. But I'm not saying don't engage with white content creators or ignore them or stop following them. I'm not saying that. If they're doing good stuff, of course, support their work, right? But recognize that the mass, it sounds like the majority of the people participating in the algorithm on social media are still revealing that white content creators are the ones they're most comfortable with, the ones they respect the most, want to hear from the most, you know, whatever. And if we who are doing this work, who want to be part of a just and equitable society, who want to promote the priority of diversity, equity, and inclusion in the world and contributing, if we care about that, this is free. I'm saying we can easily just simply adjust some of our habits in the way that we scroll and engage with our feed. If you see a person of color putting a piece of content out there, engage with it. Even if it's like not immediately interesting to you, check your privilege and perhaps it's not as entertaining or interesting because you simply just don't identify with them. And maybe that should be a reason to lean in, to pay attention, to be challenged, to be inspired, to grow, to learn, you know? Like, we could change that. And then also, as you engage, if they're doing it well, if they're providing value and creating legitimate content, I'm not saying just, you know, if the content's good and it's helpful, it's meaningful, it's entertaining, it's whatever for you, then show your appreciation and vote with your engagement, right? With the likes, comments, shares, and saves. Do that. I think that's really practical and it can happen immediately. Like, we could do this today and then start building a new habit, right? And I think the reason this matters and is worth saying something about, we are contributing to how this, specifically this algorithm behaves, right? It's telling us what we care about, what we believe in, what we're interested in. We're contributing to that. But the bigger picture here is, if we're going to actually change the way society behaves, I'm not trying to be dramatic, we have to change the way we behave, right? On an individual level, individual basis. So I'm not saying just agree with the right slogans and memes in the world. I'm saying do the work ourselves. When we're alone, it's 11 o'clock at night, we're sitting on the couch or in our bed or whatever, and we're scrolling. That's where real work gets done too, right? Changing our perspective and our behavior and how we're engaging with that content and prioritizing marginalized content creators to help elevate their voices and create awareness that helps us all become better in not just relating to these marginalized identities, but then also like learning from a natural organic process how to care for them, how to listen, how to respond to accountability, and like put action to, you know, what we're claiming to value. This is meaningful. I think this matters and translates, and it's because it's already translating, right? And so now that I'm aware that this is going on in the way that it's going on, in a way that I wasn't, like, I have to do better. Like, my character and integrity demands that of me. And so now, you know, naturally, one of the results of this experience for me is like making this podcast episode. And I expect some other podcast episodes to come out of this and other pieces of content, whatever. And some of the anti-blackness posts that I've made confronting whiteness, I've become more vocal about that. And also, I would acknowledge my ability to articulate some of this stuff has gotten better because of the books that I've read and the conversations I've engaged with and the people I've like been able to have a relationship with. It's helped me grow in my confidence and comprehension in being able to participate and not just be afraid or like hope someone else says the thing, or, you know, like I get to participate too and I get to contribute to racial equality and to like, hey, this matters. This is important and I care about it. And I'm not just going to like let other people bear this burden alone. Like, we all must shoulder the issues of inequality in our culture if they're going to change. It can't be a select few people who just say things we like. Like, what they're saying, what they're showing us, if we're actually listening, should translate into changed behavior. It should translate into a changed worldview. It should shift our values, right? And then, you know, we participate differently. So we curate our following list. We engage. We show up. We represent. We vote with our behavior, right? And then lastly, if you do feel uncomfortable, if you feel called out, if you feel like offended by something and you're like, I don't know why I don't like this, but I don't like it, but I'm afraid it might be that I'm racist, that I don't like this. Like, if those things are coming up, what I'd love to ask all of you to do is lean into those moments. It is uncomfortable. It is scary. I get that. But I think one of the most meaningful parts of this process, one of the most catalytic parts of it, is when we are able to respond to that discomfort. Whatever racial bias might actually be there, pretending it's not there or hiding it is not justice. It's not helpful. Being willing to admit and acknowledge that and then doing the work to address slash confront it, to me, that's justice. That's care. That's allyship, you know? So if I think about this from a queer side, from the queer side of things, I'm not super upset when someone's homophobic. Yeah, that sucks. What really bothers me is when homophobes defend their homophobia and double down and get aggressive and become even more belligerent and bigoted in what they're saying because they're just so insecure and afraid that that's all they know to do. It's incredibly selfish and harmful, and it's the opposite of helpful, right? But the people who are willing to admit, hey, I had this thought, I have this feeling, I have this judgment, I have this discomfort, and they like lean in. They ask questions. They invite input, especially from queer people. I'm like, that's a win. You know, let's acknowledge it's not marginalized people's like job to educate you, right? There are lots of resources out there. And let me just say too, if any of you have questions, you need some pointers on where to get started or where to continue, right? I have plenty of books to recommend, plenty of content creators to point you to. Anyway, if you need recommendations, books, content creators, you know, just pieces of content, people to talk to, like, reach out to me, email, contact at mikemyshare.com, or send me a message on Instagram. I'm pretty responsive. So, like, if you need places, you need support, you need places to learn, suggestions, whatever, recommendations, I've got you. Send it. Like, let's do this work, you know? And it's not just on Black women to be bringing this to the table. A Black woman helped me recognize this, and now I get to participate too and do my part in helping further all of us getting better at showing up for Black women in our culture, you know? Okay, I think that's the gist. Thanks for being here. I, again, apologize for the wind and the heavy breathing. Just, there's a lot of wind going on here. Okay, that's it. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye!
Listen, there's more where this came from. If you want to dive deeper, check out mikemyashiro.com.